Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
We got 3 hours of stuff to cram into 30 minutes. Fred Huebner, Brian Handley here on ESPN 1000. Brian, as if the White Sox couldn't just play a real simple, easy game last night.
No, there's decisions. It's the Tim Anderson show.
Yeah, decisions made everywhere. His last two home runs, both in the ninth inning with the Sox down a run. So
you know what? That'll work. And you don't want to be in that situation, but when you have a guy like that who, pressure's on, TA's there for you.
Yeah, he gets the game-tying run, home run in the ninth, singles in the go-ahead run in the 11th, and then scores the insurance run. The Sox, a 7-5 win in 11 innings. The reason Brian and I are here until 9:30 is because it's White Sox Weekly, 2 hours before every pregame show on a Saturday, and the White Sox in Tampa, the two best teams in the American League going at it. And it was a fun one last night, went 11 innings, Sox win 7-5. Sox struck out 16 times. They had to go a couple extra innings just to strike out a few more times.
Well, I don't know much, Fred, but here's what I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Never, ever, ever again will you see Craig Kimbrel pulled for Aaron Bummer. That was the one time. And Tony La Russa was kicking himself after the game, rightfully so, because I get 7 straight balls. But then Kimbrel gets 2 outs, and, we see enough of Kimbrel. We come on in, Aaron, and boom goes the dynamite. There's 3 runs. So I'm quite certain that you will not see that happen again because, as he said, one's a Hall of Famer and the other one's Aaron Bummer.
The weird part about it is when it was made, you understand the move because there's a lefty coming up. And it's Brandon Lowe. It's not just any lefty, okay? So he's a guy who's got 20-some homers. You don't necessarily think they'll pinch hit for him at that time, but they do. So now it's Aaron Bummer throwing to a right-handed hitter instead of a left-handed hitter. So the whole, and Tony or Miguel Cairo or somebody had to figure that out in the bench. I think that it comes down to performance. If you're Aaron Bummer and you don't throw 6 straight balls, then maybe you can get the guy out and it looks a lot easier. It was a real tough inning to watch in that inning when they scored 3 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning. You could see Kimbrel, as he was walking off the mound, didn't want to go.
No.
He really wanted to face that last guy.
He doesn't pitch for 4 days because he's at his, grandmother's funeral?
Grandfather.
Yeah, grandfather, right.
Grandmother, yeah.
Right. So he's got, it's been a tough 4 days for him. He's away from the team for very emotional reason, but he wants to get back in there, and then you throw him in there, and then you take him out when, I think if those are my choices, lefty, lefty, whatever, I'm going with him. And Tony said as much after the game that, you let him get out of what he got into.
Yeah, he said basically that it was the wrong message to go on out there and pull him at that point.
Right.
He didn't want to show that he had no confidence in him. But, if we're sitting on the couch, I'm not sure how much confidence we had in him either. After those 7 walks. And I posted it again on Twitter yesterday. I know I sound like a broken record, but when Garrett Crochet was in, he throws 5 strikes to a guy and ends up walking him when the only pitch he threw in the at-bat comes out of the strike zone. And it's like, come on. I mean, it's so frustrating and so disgusting watching these pitchers and these umpires just blow calls on a constant basis.
Yeah, robo-ump coming. I don't know.
It's got to. I mean,
2 years? Let's say 2 years.
Yeah, that's a possibility. And then the man on second base, thank goodness that's going away too. That's the frustrating thing. And I understand, you're a sports writer covering baseball games. You probably at many times wanted the games to end quicker than
especially on getaway day. Getaway day, you don't have a charter. You're getting on a commercial flight and you think you have enough time. Now you're in the 16th inning, but it is what it is. That's going away. But, I bet, was it Arizona yesterday? No, the Rangers. They were down 6-0, and I just put $20 on them to come back and win the game.
Right.
They tied the game with 5 in the bottom of the ninth. So here comes the free runner, top of the 10th, and nothing happens. So they get 2 on, nobody out in the bottom of the 10th, and they don't get a run across. And, of course, they lost in 11 innings. I'm counting like $260 on my 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
So free runners, you take advantage or you don't, and then there goes a double saw.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what we get for gambling, as our good old buddy Doug Buffone said, he who gambles lives in shambles. So
thank you very much. Yeah.
Eventually we live in shambles, I guess. So, but because we have White Sox Weekly coming up at 9:30, we're going to talk a lot of Bears football, and why not? And the Bears are the team that everybody in this city can get together and get behind. The Bears, we were all excited about what we saw Justin Fields do last week after his three and outs, when he actually got the team to kick a field goal at the end of the first half. But we are told we get to see a lot of Andy Dalton today, at least a quarter and a half of Andy Dalton in the first team offense. How exciting is that for you, Brian?
Well, it's his time, which sounds very similar to what Mike Lennon was saying. So I don't know that I really want to. Twitter was in midseason form beginning of the last game because everyone was saying the Bears are in midseason form. I mean, everyone was writing off the Bears the first couple series and 2-3 and outs with Andy Dalton. And let's rewind to last week when we're talking to JD, and he's painting a very grim picture about the offensive line, and it's not going to be a quick fix. And then shortly after we get off the show, here comes 39-year-old Jason Peters into the picture as your left tackle. Not going to play today. He's going to do some pregame work. I don't know that he's the answer, but that's how desperate they are because, by the way, they drafted a guy who we talked about the bad back last Saturday, and he had back surgery 2 days after that or whatever. So it's a situation, no matter your quarterback, the offensive line is a huge question mark right now.
Yeah, and it's amazing, too, because they get Peters in, and then, like you said, 2 days later, they make the announcement that Tevin Jenkins is going to have back surgery, and they made sure they said that they knew about the back problems, but the back problems he had before are different than these back problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they tell us. So,
right.
Yeah.
They won't tell us what's going on with Akeem Hicks, but that's what they tell us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun, too. He's just not here. He's back today. Where was he? I'm not saying.
Well, he left. He left during stretches, right? I mean, comes out on the field. Now, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, is at Hal's Hall for a day or two.
Right.
He's on the last year of a four-year, $48 million deal. The Bears told him he could pursue a trade in the offseason and, go find something that made sense for both he and the Bears. Now, obviously, that didn't transpire. Now, they don't have much cap room. So, he wants a new contract that's going to pay him a lot more than the $12 million he was getting for each of the last four seasons, or this is last year of the contract. But it doesn't appear to be an injury. It appeared that he was making a statement, right? Because he leaves the field at the start of practice after the agent was on the sideline a day or so before. Nagy immediately goes to the trainer, talks to him, I guess to make sure it wasn't an injury. Then immediately goes over to Ryan Pace, and they start having a kind of animated conversation. And no one wants to tell you why, but, it has all the earmarks of a guy making a point that I'm here and then I'm not here, and, you guys better get serious about this.
Sure. And if, in fact, it is an injury, they would have said.
Well, of course.
They would have said he tweaked this, his knee was bothering him, something else, he's fine, he's back, whatever. They don't say it. They don't give any reason. And I basically just think it's Nagy's way of saying it without saying it. And I think he knows what's been going on. He knows everything that's happening. He knows what people are writing and things like that. And that's one of our Twitter polls, actually. Will this be Akeem Hicks last season with the Bears? Real simple, yes or no. You can go to Twitter at ESPN1000. And the other one, a little more thought has to go into it. People are already asking if we can give an E out of all of the above.
Yes.
No, that's why we ask you individual ones, okay? We understand sometimes you want to go all of the above. But many sites have the Bears' win total at 7.5. If they finish under that, will it mostly be due to the offense, the defense, the coaching, or the schedule for the Bears? You can find that on Twitter at ESPN1000. Also, I wanted to find out from Bears fans. Jump on in, 312-332-3776. Are you going to be watching the Bears game from the beginning? Are you going to say, let me know when Justin Fields comes in, and then I'll tune it in, because I don't want to watch Andy Dalton. I'm going to see enough of him this season. 312-332-3776. I'd be happy to see like an Allen Robinson or a David Montgomery or have guys carry the ball a little bit. You remember, Brian, the first couple of years of Matt Nagy, we saw nothing in the preseason. I mean, we didn't even see starters out there for more than a snap or two.
Right.
And because there's only three, I think we're getting to see them a little bit more. I'm eager to see still how the defense is going to work. And also how the fans in Chicago are going to react to Mitchell Trubisky, because he's going to be quarterbacking for the Buffalo Bills this weekend. Josh Allen not QBing for Buffalo now. And I'll be interested to see how they're going to react to Mitch. Again, things that happen, and I understand people boo the fan, even though it's not always the fan, the player's fault. They boo the player. It's not always the player's fault. It's not Mitch's fault. The Bears traded up to pick him. It's not like he's out there not trying. But I'll be interested to see what the Bears fans do at Soldier Field this afternoon.
Yeah, and my question, why would you boo him? Because
right.
He seemingly was an earnest guy. Now, there was Matt Nagy would make going into the last offseason that he was here, Mitch has got to really immerse himself in the playbook. I mean, that was basically telling us that he wasn't doing enough. Contrast that to this week where DeFilippo and Bill Lazor are talking about how Justin Fields stays on the field after practice and wants to go through all the practice plays that they just ran because he didn't run them very well. And they're saying, this is how much the kid will do to be great. Not that he's right. not going to be great. He's going to do everything he needs to. And I never heard that stuff. We always heard Mitch was great in practice.
Right.
And then game day, not so much. But why would you boo Mitch Trubisky? You moved up. You fell in love with the quarterback from a basketball school. I mean, I still don't get that. So he comes here. You sell him as the second coming. And now all the pressure's on him. And he was very limited. I mean, he only had 13 starts at North Carolina.
Right.
Yep. He couldn't even get on the field for a full career there. And so I get the frustration part of it. But he is who he is. And the rest of the league told you who he is because he's on a one-year deal with the Buffalo Bills as a backup quarterback. And by the way, the Bills aren't playing their starters today. That's why Trubisky's playing.
Right.
So they're taking a different tact or the tact that Nagy took last year. So, I mean, the rest of the league told you, no, thank you, Mitch Trubisky. We don't think it was a bad situation or you got a bad deal in Chicago. We just think you're an average guy.
Yep. And that's what, that's why he's not here anymore. He's in Buffalo. I'll be interested to see how it all plays out. 312-332-3776. The Sox and the Bears both play at the same time at noon today. Thank goodness it's one of many times I'm happy I have more than one TV. I'll be able to watch those as the White Sox take on the Rays again. And you'll hear that one right here on ESPN 1000. It's great to have. I had the sound on the TV off. I was listening to Len and DJ. Great calls last night for the 11-inning victory for the White Sox. Let's go out to the phones. We go to Evanston and John, our guy John. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Everybody knows that Justin can run the offense from the shotgun. Let's get him out of his safety zone and get him under center and see what his footwork looks like when he's got to take the 3 or 5 step drop and still keep his eyes down the field. As far as when he's ready, I want to see him in some mop-up roles first and then let the coaching staff get together and see what he still needs to work on in order to be the starting quarterback. I really don't want it, as long as the Bears are doing okay and our starting quarterback is healthy, I really don't want to see Justin start this year. I want to see him get in some mop-up roles and get his feet wet because it's going to be a different kind of game that he hasn't been in before. And then, start him next year when he's really ready to go and he's got it down and he knows how to read defenses and he knows his receivers and where they're supposed to be.
Mop-up roles.
Yeah, I was going to say mop-up roles. You mean when the Bears are down big or when they're up big?
When the Bears... When the game is, whether it's a win or a loss and what he does isn't going to affect the score of the game or the outcome, that's when you want him to go in. When there's no pressure as far as the outcome of the game goes and he can just do what he does and the Bears can grade him on what he knows and what he still needs to to work on in order to be that.
Well, here's the problem with that. I don't think this Bears team, given all the injuries in particular, is near good enough to be up three touchdowns
right
at any point in the season. I mean, you know, even looking at the schedule, I guess maybe against Detroit or the Vikings or something. But even then, that's a lot to ask. And if they're down three touchdowns, boy, that tells you it wasn't Andy Dalton's time. So
right. Yeah, it was his time. John, appreciate the call. 312-332-3776. A couple of poll questions on our ESPN site, at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. Let's go to Plainfield and Alex. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. As we know, the offense has been a problem the last couple of years. I'm curious to see what you guys think about Matt Nagy being the coach this year, and if it doesn't work out with Fields and they switch to another coach next year, I'm wondering what you would think, you know, if that could hurt Fields' development.
Go ahead, Brad.
Look, if Justin Fields, as Matt Nagy has the plan laid out, doesn't see the field this year in the regular season, if they stick to that blueprint, Matt Nagy's here into next year because the clock doesn't start on Matt Nagy again. You know, a lot of people was hoping that the time ran out for him last season. But both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy now don't, you know, they reset the clock until Justin Fields is named your starter and is out there in earnest, right? That they're now tied to the franchise quarterback that we all hope he is. So,
yeah.
And whatever, I mean, if the Bears went 3-14 this year, and by the way, that 7.5 total is on a 17-game season, right?
Right.
Aren't they begging you to take the over? Aren't they? I mean,
that
looks like a layup, right?
Yeah.
And whenever it looks like a layup, if it looks too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah.
But that's my thought. That Nagy, I don't think they're going to be, you know, a 3-win team, but I don't think they're going to be a 12-win team necessarily.
Yeah. Alex, appreciate the call. 312-332-3776. The first four games at the Rams, home against the Bengals, at Cleveland, and hosting the Lions, okay? Now, the Bengals are still trying to figure it out with their second-year quarterback now. The Lions are always bad, but they have a new quarterback to see what happens. Cleveland's a team that actually has stepped up over the last couple of years with Baker Mayfield, and the Rams are going to bring it with their new quarterback, Matthew Stafford, and that defense. So,
2-2 would be the best-case scenario there, at least
I'm
on paper, right?
Yeah, before you go to Vegas, play the Packers at home, at Tampa, and then the Niners. Those are some rough games coming up after that. 312-332-3776. Friend Brian here. We're here till 9:30 before White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
A busy afternoon in Chicago sports. The Bears take on the Bills at Soldier Field. White Sox going against the Tampa Bay Rays, game 2 of a 3-game set. We've got that game for you here. First pitch a little after 12. We got the pregame at 11:30. White Sox Weekly, always 2 hours before the pregame on Saturdays. Coming up in just under 8 minutes here on ESPN 1000. Brian, let's go to Mount Greenwood and Gorman. Gorman, you're on ESPN 1000. What's happening?
Good morning. I just want to express my frustration with Ryan Pace. I mean, the guy's horrible ever since before Trubisky. Obviously, we know how everybody feels about Trubisky. But this Tevin Jenkins thing, I mean, going back to the previous draft, I thought they should have grabbed Ezra Cleveland. He was out of Idaho for the line, and he's doing fine up in Minnesota. They grabbed him. But our guy, he's under the knife. He's out till probably next year. I just think for all the money they pay Pace, you know, it's just a travesty. And I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
Thanks, Gorman. You know, Brian, it is just another example of another high draft pick wasted because who knows, didn't do the due diligence, didn't look enough into it. You know, if you got two left tackles and one of them's ailing with a bad back and the other one's not, you would think you'd go with the one that doesn't have a bad back.
Well, we talked about it last week, Fred. And even taking them at their word that this is a different back issue than the one that they knew about when they went ahead and looked at the medicals before they drafted him, even if you accept that to be fact, the previous back issue would have been at least a yellow flag. You know, you go yellow and red. If you get a red grade, that once you look at the medicals, most teams say, no matter what we think you are as a player, we're not taking that chance, right? And pretty much any back issue would give a lot of red grades or red flags on that player, and they would just say, well, like you said, look for somebody else. Might, you know, we might like your upside. But no, you're moving the guy from positions from right to left, and he comes with a back, and now this is a different back issue. And, I mean, I feel our caller's frustration because, you know, the Justin Fields draft was all about Matt Nagy. That was Matt Nagy who identified the quarterback he wanted, who got Ryan Pace on board, and they got their guy. And most of us celebrated that. I think right. After that, it was Ryan Pace's draft. So I put this squarely on Ryan Pace's, back to his resume, and it's not very impressive at this point.
Well, and, you know, another thing is I think Chicago and maybe even the media was really excited about the Justin Fields pick. And remember what we were saying after the Tevin Jenkins? It's like, man, we're surprised he was there. This right. is a guy that had first-round talent, and he drops to the second round.
Well, now you know why.
Maybe we should have been able to look a little bit more into that at that point. I know it's difficult, especially with COVID and not seeing people and not going to OTAs and all the other stuff. But there had to be a reason why he dropped so far. Now, I guess, unfortunately, we're finding that out.
Yeah, most teams looked at the back and said, we can't take a chance on that because, you know, the offensive line's too important. And back issues don't usually remedy themselves. And again, if this is a separate issue, maybe you should have double concern because he still has the pre. Did they go and take care of the other thing too? I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. When you watched the game last week, I mean, other than Justin Fields, was there anything else that you really came away with that game from, except that maybe they need another return guy because everybody kept dropping the ball?
No, all it was for me was watch Justin Fields and the fact that he started slowly and then excited the entire stadium was all I needed to see. I mean, and when all through the week, when you hear his teammates talk about how special he is, how they're on the sideline watching because, you know, they're saying, we don't know what he's going to do next. I mean, that's how dialed in everyone is on watching this guy. And he's done nothing to this point other than the groin injury this week to make you think that he's not. I mean, what did he say after the game? Well, I thought the speed was going to be faster than it was.
Yeah.
I mean, and he doesn't say it's like cocky. He just says, as a matter of fact, like, you know, I expect it different. I mean, the guy doesn't seem to be intimidated by the spotlight, the stage, or anything else.
Well, that's what happens when you originally go to Georgia and then you transfer, you go to Ohio State, you play big time college football, you play in playoff games and things like that, as opposed to being a guy who had 13 starts at, as you mentioned, a basketball school. So it's a completely different situation, and I can't wait to see him get in. I do understand what the Bears are planning to do. I know Andy Dalton stepped up and said it's his time. I know
he said, I know who I was created to be.
Right.
So at conception, he knew that.
There you go.
When I said that, did you know you were? Did they tell you in your crib that you were going to be doing sports talk radio? And I mean, you know at that point, as a 1-year-old at the birthday party, that you were giving scores? What were you doing?
Yeah, I think they did know at the time. I think the first time my dad asked me to throw him something and it went really short, he knew at that point I would not be an athlete. So I think he realized at that point we better teach him to do something else. Quickly, let's take a look at how our polls did. I know we've only had them up for a half hour, but I will. We'll revisit these tomorrow when I'm here with Mark Zander from 9 until 11:30. We'll talk a lot of Bears. Tyler, how did the two polls do?
All right, so we'll start with the win total one. Many sites have the Bears at 7.5 for wins this season. If they finish under, it will be mostly due to, is it the offense, defense, coaching, or schedule? Offense leads the way, 47%, followed by coaching at 30%, schedule 16%, and defense 7.5. I'll say this, schedule's not getting enough love on there.
Not exactly. I voted schedule.
Yeah. You know, and the defense, people in this town, they still think this Bears team has a great defense. They need to show me. Defense would have been number two on that list for me. But anyway.
That speaks to Matt Nagy's the frustration with the play caller.
Exactly.
So the last one we got here, will this be Akeem Hicks's last season with the Bears? Yes, at 73%.
I hope Akeem's not listening because Mr. Bear Up and Richard Fitzwell said, sorry, I thought he'd be gone already. So a lot of people are okay with it.
Well, you know what the nice thing is, too? You get to see an Eddie Goldman. You get to see Bilal Nichols. You got some other guys in the middle who hopefully can maybe take some some of his spot as the season goes on. And who knows, maybe they'll even draft somebody next year.
Oh.
yeah, that'll happen.
Will he be able to jump out of a pool? That's the question.
Oh, boy. Yes, exactly.
Oh, boy.
Will he be able to jump out of a pool?
Oh, boy.
Ryan, it was a nice, quick, short one. We'll talk again next week. Looking forward to it.
All right, talk to you guys.
Sounds good. Don't forget, it'll be me and Xander tomorrow morning at 9, but don't go anywhere. A full day of White Sox baseball. It starts with White Sox Weekly after this on ESPN 1000.